This is the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts, podcast 544, the end of August. So the State Fair is on in Minnesota. September awaits, and thus change. We have big solar eclipse coming, and we have the equinox, and we have winter coming after fall. So in podcast 544, we're going to talk a little bit about change and ask the question, how do you define yourself? Not who you are, but how you define who you are in podcast 544. Well, the seasons are changing, and that means there might be a few projects that you did not get to around the exterior of your home. Maybe building that fence in the backyard, gutter, storm damage, window installation, things of that nature. And so when you think about the stuff that you did not get done, that you would like to get done, let me give you a name that you can trust when it comes to exterior work on your home. Cairo Contracting. The number is 612-702-2357. Ed Cairo grew up in St. Paul and Bloomington. Cairo Contracting is a Better Business Bureau accredited business. Cairo Contracting does residential and commercial roofing, siding, gutters, window repair, and installation only. And they are storm damage specialists. So if you've had hail damage, you need to get stuff done with the roof that is related to storms. We have a gutter problem in the front of our house that was caused by a tree that fell down during a storm. Things like that that can cause problems later. Ice damage on the house. We're supposed to be having a bad winter. So those things need to get addressed. And for 15 years, Cairo Contracting has been addressing those problems. Residential and business exterior remodeling experts and storm damage specialists. They are the name you know when it comes to storm damage repair and exterior remodeling, residential and commercial. Cairo Contracting. Go to thebobdavispodcast.com. You'll see that banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast page, which is that beautiful roof that those guys did in Edina. 612-702-2357. That's 612-702-2357. Cairo Contracting. Yes, this is a weird topic. How do you define who you are? And I suppose that I could say at the beginning of the podcast, you know, do a whole paragraph about how many political podcasts I've done and my disgust with the political process and what the political process is like and why we need to talk about. That's not why I'm doing the podcast. That's not why I want to talk about this. The reasons for me to talk about how I define who I am or how you define who you are probably has nothing to do with politics. In fact, as you'll see as I get into this podcast, this question of how we define ourselves for a lot of us depends on what we do and what our political orientations are. And I'm just going to leave that completely out because it ruins it for me and it ruins it for you. This question of how to define oneself is certainly not a new question. It is not my question. It actually was a question asked in yoga class. And the reason the teacher asked this question in yoga class, how do you define yourself, was because in yoga, we have a tendency to define ourselves by other people. We have a tendency to look at ourselves and think of ourselves in a certain way. I'm too big to do that. I'm too fat. I can't do that. I'm too old. You know, those kinds of things. And in fact, that has nothing to do with your yoga class. It has nothing to do with your practice of a physical discipline. Really, it's about breathing. It's about lots of things and patience and things like that. So that was the framework, the context of this how do you define yourself question in the yoga class. But it extends to the rest of life. I have talked a lot about eras in these podcasts. This is as close as we're going to get to politics in this podcast. This question of where we are in history. And I don't ask the question lightly. I don't think that question demands an immediate or light answer. It's a question for people to think about. Where are we in history? Because change is a constant. The best way for me to describe what I'm talking about is historians will talk about the period before the Civil War as the antebellum period. For them, that's how they describe this period before the Civil War. The people living through that period did not know that they were living through the antebellum period. They didn't even know that the Civil War was coming. They may have thought something was going to happen, but they didn't know what happened was going to happen. Another example is historians will often describe the period between World War I and World War II as the interwar period. Well, those people didn't know that they were living through the interwar period. They just used that term so that they can put their theories in context, right? Because what we're living through is a constant change and a constant shift. I talked about the fact at the beginning of the podcast that we are nearing fall. That's part of this constant change that goes on. We have technology issues. We have people living and dying. We have people with intense challenges that change. Babies being born, kids growing up, first girlfriends and boyfriends, college, going on to some kind of work. We have people getting married. We have more babies, children and grandchildren, people in middle age, people in older age. Being old and seeing things through younger eyes, and which means that you might be old, but you feel young inside, is a good example of how things change outside us, but they don't necessarily change internally. And of course, our lives are changing. How we interact, who we interact with, what kind of work we do, how we do the work that we do, what it requires of us, what we put into it. And as we get older, how and what we put into our work and our lives and our families also changes. Our output changes, our worldview changes, or at least I think some of those things should change with a healthy person. So with change, and the faster it comes, the more difficult it can be, is this resistance to change. And this is where we get into this question of defining ourselves. How much do we resist something that changes because of the way we define ourselves, how we look at ourselves? And I will use myself as an example. You know, I was listening to that music podcast and I realized how much of my life, and I knew this, but I realized how much of my life has been defined by the greatest passion in my life, which was radio and is radio. You know, now it's much more the spoken word or the production arts or whatever podcasting is, but it's my work. I never defined myself by politics. I never defined myself by a political spectrum. What I defined myself by was radio and everything involved with radio. And it wasn't the business per se. It was being on radio and in the radio and making it. That was the be-all and end-all for me pretty much most of my life. It was all I cared about. Now, radio did not love me back. It did not have the same passion for me that I had for it. But then again, no clear-eyed assessment of anything in the entertainment business would suggest that it would love anyone back or ever has. So, you know, that expectation is absurd, and I really never even had that expectation. I just did it because I love doing it, and I'm still doing it because I love doing it. So I define myself literally by the call letters of the stations that I work for and their formats. And I listened to those stations 24/7, and I was on it 24/7, and I loved every minute of it. But the business and method of making radio changed, and I had to change with it. I had to go find something else to do. More than once, I changed my mode, right? There's that word again, change. Things are changing. Seasons change. We're going from summer to fall, and it will soon be winter. Sometimes change is hard to define. The underpinning of it, the effects of it are hard to determine and hard enough in itself to define. So even sociologists and historians really struggle to find academically the beginning of this change or the beginning of that change. Hence this interwar terminology or this antebellum terminology. So if you pick a vantage point somewhere, sometimes it's easier to say, okay, if I ground myself here, then I know how things have changed. For example, you can see the sun move from one point in the sky in the spring to a completely different point in the fall. It's actually really cool when you notice that. You know, I always think about my favorite part of the year is early summer. The sun comes up at 4:30. Basically, it starts to get light. And the sun goes down at 10:30 in the early summer in the north where I live. And yet in late September, it will be dusk at 6:30 or 7 and dark by 8. I like to go down to the islands every now and then. And that's far enough. You know, it's on the equator, so pretty much. So when the sun sets, it's dark. I mean, there's no lingering dusk like there is where I was raised in the Midwest and where I live up in the northern part of the United States, where there's this lingering dusk in the sky. I always see that when I go down there, and when the sun goes down, boom, it's dark. It's night, like black and white, literally. There's no time. The dusk doesn't last very long. So change can be gradual, and gradual change sometimes is hardly noticed. When things change rapidly, we fight it. That's a natural resistance. And I don't know whether it is, whether it's a survival instinct or what. You know, we don't want summer to go, and we don't notice it really until it actually starts to go, and we start to resist, and we wish that it would not go away. And I think it's that way in life, too. We don't want things to change. I don't want things to change. But things change around us, whether we want to see them change or not. Now, as I said, all this is going on around us, all around us, constantly. Nature is changing constantly. Bugs get smaller, they get bigger, they go away, they come back. You know, you can see all the natural things going on, but it's also our nature and the little natural world that we create, the things we build, the things we build with, the tools we use, you know, when we build things. And I'm not just talking about buildings. I'm talking about infrastructure. I'm talking about business. I'm talking about how we do business. I'm talking about the words we use, you know, slang and how we express ourselves and the popular songs that are sort of playing in the background wherever we go, the kind of music that we hear everywhere we go. We don't think about how much that changes very gradually until we look back and go, do you remember when, you know, the happy troll was out on Route 12 and what it was like? Or do you remember when Uptown was, you know, kind of run down and the skateboard kids were sort of around all the time? This is what I'm talking about. This gradual change finds its way into the fabric of our social interactions, our family interactions, our interactions with ourselves, and we don't notice it until sometimes years later. Here's the thing. When we define ourselves by what we do, when we define ourselves by our social media persona, by our avatar, by where we live, or how much money we make, or what we drive, or by the radio station call letters where we work, right? Then that's going to make change much more difficult. Because what happens is, if you root down and define yourself by those things, then you internalize that. And that becomes who you are. So when that changes, like when you get fired or when your house burns down or when your car gets old and you have to replace it, it becomes a harder thing for you to define who you are. And so that's this whole thing about this resistance to change, holding on to an outdated definition of yourself. And I don't think that that has a political orientation. I think it has a human orientation. We just don't like change. And by the way, I'm not doing a podcast here about embracing change. That's not where I'm coming from, or the use of the word change in political terminology. There's a lot of things I'd like to change, but I don't know what I would change them to. And then there's, of course, a lot of things that I hope will never change, but they do change, and there's nothing I can do about that. When we were young, most of us couldn't wait to try something new. Do you remember the first time you tried ice cream? Do you remember the first time you tried spaghetti? You know, do you remember the first time you had a really good plate of Italian pasta, or the first time you had cheesecake, or the first time you rappelled down a cliff, or the first time you did something you didn't think that you could do, or the first time that you swam, or any of these things? Some people can remember stuff way back to when they were 2 and 3 years old, and they actually remember that feeling. Little kids cannot wait for things to change. They are always looking for something new to go try and enjoy, and they have this incredible open attitude towards trying new things until we reach a certain age. And then you ask yourself, well, what gets in the way of this approach to life, this childlike approach to try something new, which actually carries all the way through adolescence, I think. You know, young people are amazing because they can't wait to try something new, and they don't have any fear. They don't have any calluses about perhaps accepting a new thing. You learn it. I think it's a learned thing. And I think we learn sometimes the new thing isn't as good as the old thing for us, so we resist it, or we take time to realize that the new thing is actually better for us, or the new thing hurts. And we have years and years of calluses on our emotions when it comes to accepting any kind of change. Or maybe we've done something for so long, we define ourselves by that thing that we do. In my case, that's why I talk about radio, because I define myself in those kinds of terms. And I actually did root down and internalize that definition of who I was. And you know, there have been a couple of times in my life where I internalized it so much that I think that it hurt me because I couldn't let go of that old definition. You hold on to that thing that you have identified with pretty much everything that you have. You strap yourself in because you don't want to move. You don't want to change. You don't want to leave your job. You don't want whatever the new thing is. It's hard or whatever. You don't want to leave your friends. You know, there's a long list. I mean, there's no defined list of things that people root down and grab hold of. I feel like the adventure of life, and this is a new thing with me, I feel like the adventure of life is letting go of the old thing and embracing the new. It's almost like you have to. And I'm speaking for myself. When I say you, I'm saying me, I'm saying us, whatever. It's the people listening. We're having a one-on-one conversation. You know, the things that I've had to change because it was forced on me, you know, or I forced it on myself, changing the way I eat, changing the way I exercise, changing how I live or where I live. And living, you know, it's interesting because where I live, and this is kind of a sidebar, that never really bothered me, you know, and I think it's because we moved around a lot when I was a kid. But I learned once when I moved, I don't remember where I lived, I moved someplace for a job and I was kind of depressed. And I realized that when you move to a new place, you might be homesick or depressed a little bit because you're in, you know, very unfamiliar surroundings. And you think of it in terminology, the place that you used to live, and it takes you a while. And after a little while, suddenly one day you wake up and you go, you know what, this is a pretty cool place. I kind of like it here. Or you start looking at it as it is. You stop looking at it in terms of the old way, and it kind of flips, and you go, you know, this isn't so bad. I don't mind Charlotte. Or, you know, I don't mind this new town that I live in, even though I grew up in some other town. I realized a while back, you know, I have kind of lived in two places primarily. I've lived all over the country, but I've lived in two places for a long time in my life. One was Chicago, and the other is Minneapolis and St. Paul. And, you know, I went back to Chicago recently, and I talked about Chicago in the music podcast, about the Chicago that I grew up with, which is very different from the Chicago that I that you see today. And I realized, you know, if I went back to Chicago, it wouldn't be the same because it's not the same place. You don't go back to the same place. It's not left the same. And there are places in the neighborhoods I used to live that are exactly the same. I mean, it's like a museum sometimes, but it's not the same. So things change, right? And so I've kind of learned the hard way that the adventure of life is letting go of the old thing and embracing the new, like I said. Now, we are living through a fantastic era in human history. We have the power to do things we could never do before. And I mean never do before. We didn't even visualize the things that we have today. We have the power not only to amplify the individual, but actually to amplify the human spirit. And we're talking about amazing tools here. It makes things that seemed permanent yesterday, literally yesterday, completely obsolete today. Sometimes I think if I won the lottery, what would I do if I won the lottery? Wow, it'd be great if I won the lottery. What would I do? And then I follow that thought process through, and it's almost always the same stuff I'm doing now, just a richer version of what I'm doing now. So winning the lottery would be nice, but it wouldn't necessarily change what I am doing now, the path that I'm on now, significantly, because I wouldn't just go sit on a beach somewhere. I would have to do something, and I would probably end up doing what I am doing. It would just be in my opinion, a richer or better version, not necessarily better, because sometimes the challenge is what makes it really great. How do you think that you would change if they discovered an enzyme or a pill that you could take that would reverse your age? A lot of people are working on that. That's probably going to be, along with energy, one of the big breakthroughs going forward. So the average human lifespan will jump from 80 years to 200 years. And most people don't, when they hear that, they go, great. And let's say, and I always throw in, and you'll be able to live most of your 200 years as a 30-year-old physically, right? And people think, well, and I think, oh, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic. I can't wait for that. But how do you think you would change your approach to how you define yourself? Because, you know, we already have two or three or four careers now in an 80-year lifespan. Imagine if you could live 200 years, how things would be different and how you would view things differently in the world, because you would have the ability to reinvent yourself any number of times or not. you know, some people might just be 200 years the same way as a 30-year-old. I don't know. I don't know what people would do. If you're one of those lucky people in your 20s or 30s, how different do you think that you're going to be when you're 60 or 70? How do you think you're going to look back on this world, given the changes that we're on the cusp of going through? How might historians refer to this time in the future after some event or some period of events or some knot of change kind of passes through? So we're in a period of accelerated change. Much of it we cannot see because it's taking place at the molecular level. It's taking place in integrated circuits. It's taking place in biology. It's taking place in chemistry, scientific processes that we cannot understand or even see. It produces changes that emerge suddenly, even though they may be years in the making, that are just too numerous to get into in this podcast. So here's what I see in my world. I see a lot of people defining themselves by an orientation, a worldview, and I see them very resistant to change. Now, I think I've made it clear that not all change is good change, and some changes you have to adjust for are negative, but in general, change is just change. The negative changes have to be addressed going forward. The positive changes have to be addressed going forward. How we define ourselves might determine how we deal with the new thing that comes along. Now, in my line of work, I meet a lot of people who define themselves by what they do, what they are, what they believe about external things. Namely, political beliefs. Here again, not necessarily a political orientation in this podcast, but a political orientation makes it very hard to accept the possibility of something different. And I'm not saying if you're on the right, it's something from the left, or if you're on the left, it's something from the right, because that spectrum also changes. I'm saying something different, something that doesn't work with a certain worldview that defines who someone is. If you ask someone who they are, sometimes they'll actually place themselves somewhere on the political spectrum, which again is funny because the political spectrum changes. Right becomes left, left becomes right. It's just simply a term that political scientists use to describe reality as it exists in a certain time frame. There is no political spectrum. There is no right, left. It's just a terminology that people use to say, here's what's going on today. But in 10 or 15 or 20 years, it'll change. I have a strong sense that now what it's all about is the next thing. And I am pushing my listeners very hard these days, especially my older listeners, because I think we need to think about not now, but what comes next. Because I see an awful lot of confusion and I see an awful lot of philosophical bankruptcy when it comes to figuring out what works, what the I did it backwards, what the problem is, what works in terms of addressing the problem, and how to implement the thing that actually works. What we have is a lot of people who are saying it has to be this way, or it has to be that way, or the problem is this, and then they disagree with the people that say that the problem is that, and then the media continues to divide us and say that we are divided. But when you go out and you talk to people, you find out that we are the sum of the experiences of our lives, and we're not that different. Especially as Americans, we're not that different. We may think different things, but we're not different as human beings, and there's a lot that is commonly shared, regardless of our opinion. And if you can pull back both people, both sides, and just have some time together, sometimes the things that separate us aren't as great as we think they are. Now, this isn't some speech about, we need to start coming together as a country. I'm not even talking about that. Because again, I start feeling greasy because I start feeling all political. I just think that beyond politics, all of these developments and all of these technological changes force us to be more supple and to be open to new ideas so that we can keep the good parts of the old and be able to work with the new at the same time. And there's so much back and forth about what was said 2 days ago in our country, so much of this stuff floating around in the air, so much resistance to any kind of change. And I have the same feeling sometimes. I have the same resistance. But the reality is a new path is being cut, a new road is being laid down, a new day is being created. Every single day, tools are being created. How they get used are, is determined by the myriad different ways that human beings use tools and what they do with those new tools. You can't make a tool and say, there's only one way that you can use this, and it's this way, because this is the approved way that it must be used. You create a tool that's ubiquitous, like a cell phone, you know, or a smartphone, rather, and how people use it is how people use it. That process has already been started, and once it has been birthed, this new world is not going to disappear until something comes along and supersedes it. So, in other words, a new era comes after this era. So, a good place to think about how we handle change is this question of how we define ourselves. And I have learned, and I've learned the hard way, not to define myself by the call letters of the radio station I work for, or that station's format, or my podcasts even. I love doing them. I enjoy building a business, but I try, and I hate to use the word resist, but I will. I resist defining myself by what I do, and it's not easy because most of my life has been about what I do. But, and I ask right here, I would say, well, you know, who are we if we are not our works? But that's not necessarily what you did for a living. You know, that's a deeper question, this question of works. Who are we based on our works, what we are internally, what we believe, what we love, what we hate, what we do for others, how we work with others, how we are loved, how we are hated, that type of thing. These are almost spiritual questions, and each layer of onion that you pull off reveals yet more questions. Those are the things we need to be talking about and thinking about, not the stuff that's floating around in the air in the hurricane that's breaking windows and tearing buildings apart. I think the definition question starts us down this road to answering other questions, and then we can start talking about building a set of values that define us as individuals. I can't do that in this podcast. I feel better now because I started out pretty frustrated because this is a big topic. You know, this is one of these things that I do is I take these gigantic topics that I think I can define in 30 minutes or less, and I struggle with them. But I've been thinking a lot about how I define myself, and I've been thinking a lot about my friends and how they define themselves, and I've been thinking a lot about my enemies and how they define themselves, and I've been thinking a lot about all that stuff. And it's really an important question, especially in a year when there is so much being reported that's nothing. It's just stuff floating around in the air that's designed to get you to believe a certain thing for a certain purpose. Who are we as human beings? You're different from me. I'm different from you in many things, but the same in other things. That's where I think we start working to build something new. Because I think, frankly, right now, given what is coming, given the technology and given the challenges that's going to bring the new world that is coming and our job as stewards of this new world, both in our country and the world, that's the real challenge. But I'm going to have to leave that to another podcast. Thanks once again to Kaewer Contracting for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. If you have any stuff left over from the summer that you need to get taken care of, roof damage, gutter damage, window insulation, residential and commercial roofing, siding, gutters, and window repair and installation, a name you can trust, and that is Kaewer Contracting. They have been in Bloomington and St. Paul for 15 years. They can take care of storm damage and get you set up for the fall and winter so you don't have ice damage if you have roofing issues because of hail, things like that. Call Kaewer Contracting, 612-702-2357. That's 612-702-2357, Kaewer Contracting. I mentioned on another podcast that this summer, one of the things that I loved going to was the air show at Oshkosh, and I went there for Alpha Systems, and Alpha was in one of those exhibition buildings at EAA, and they had crowds around their booth day in and day out from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m., because pilots know safety is key. If you're a pilot, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. What is Alpha Systems AOA? It is a visual indicator of the lift that is keeping your airplane in the air, and it's critical when you're making that final turn to land. That is where, in general aviation, a lot of pilots have problems, and Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator to deal with that. Bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Go to the BobDavisPodcast.com, click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at the BobDavisPodcast.com. It's right there, and love those guys, and good luck if you're a pilot. couple of business things to talk about. First of all, if you can, I'm going to do a newsletter called The Bob Line. I haven't done it yet, but I will. And I need to get people to sign up for the newsletter if you want to receive it, because I cannot just email it to people who have emailed me. So we need to get a whole new email list. Sign up for The Bob Line at thebobdavispodcast.com. If you go to the website, thebobdavispodcast.com, on a desktop, there is something called streaming audio, which is initiated immediately if you're listening on a desktop. If you want to stop it, you just got to hit the pause button in that little red window. If you're on a smartphone, you have to initiate the streaming if you're listening. But the cool thing about it is you don't have to download podcasts necessarily. You can just listen to them right on the page, which I really, really like. I recommend subscribing, of course. It's Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, because it comes directly to your phone. But the streaming is really cool, and that's great. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio, thebobdavispodcast.com, GCN Live, and, of course, The Patriot in Minneapolis at 11 p.m. on Sundays. Really appreciate the likes and the shares and the favorites and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And thanks for your donations to Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. The end of September, I am headed west. First, I'm going to Agora Fest, hang out with my anarchist friends, and then I am going out to the West Coast, and I'll fill you in more on that. But I think it's a perfect time to head up to the Northwest just before winter sets in, and just before the election. So I'll be reporting a little bit along the way, all the way down to Los Angeles and back over to Phoenix and then back up through the Midwest just before Election Day. And I'll fill you in more on that. And I am accepting donations for diesel fuel and Komodo Dragon coffee for that trip. Thanks for listening to Podcast 544, The Bob Davis Podcasts.
We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was won as we sail into the mystic. Oh, I can now hear the sailors cry, smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. And where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have